Billy Halleck has it all. Successful law career in affluent Connecticut, beautiful wife, teenage daughter, and all the trappings of upper-middle-class comfort. His only struggle is his weight, tipping the scales at 246 pounds despite his doctor's warnings. But Billy's comfortable existence shatters when, distracted by his wife's intimate touch while driving, he strikes and kills an old gypsy woman crossing the street. The justice system, including his golf buddy Judge Rossington and Police Chief Hopley, protects him completely. No consequences, no punishment. But as Billy leaves the courthouse, the victim's father, an ancient gypsy man with a rotting nose, touches his cheek and whispers a single word: thinner. The next morning, Billy discovers he's lost 3 pounds. At first pleased, his weight continues dropping rapidly, defying all medical explanation. When a penny weighing machine not only shows his dramatic weight loss, but prints out the fortune, thinner, the horrifying truth becomes clear. He's been cursed. What makes this supernatural revenge so terrifying is its inexorable nature. Each morning's weigh-in becomes a ritual of terror, a countdown to his inevitable demise. Imagine looking in the mirror and seeing yourself disappear a little more each day. What could be more fundamentally frightening? Thinner uses the supernatural to expose social inequities invisible to their beneficiaries. Billy's community epitomizes privileged America, wealthy, insular, and prejudiced against outsiders like the gypsies. When the Roma people arrive, the town reacts with hostility. Despite legally renting space from farmers, townspeople view them with suspicion. Billy's wife warns their daughter away, calling them crooks, while authorities seek excuses to remove them. This prejudice extends to the justice system. After killing the old woman, Billy receives preferential treatment. His friend the judge dismisses the vehicular manslaughter charge, while the police chief skips tests that might have proven Billy's fault. The curse powerfully inverts this dynamic. Suddenly, Billy, who has benefited from privilege his entire life, finds himself powerless. Medicine fails him. The legal system can't protect him. His money and status mean nothing against this ancient justice. For the first time, he experiences what it feels like when a system is indifferent to your suffering. As Billy's condition deteriorates rapidly, he discovers everyone involved in Tadeusz Lemke's injustice bears a customized curse. Judge Rossington develops reptilian scales, a perverse manifestation of the scales of justice he corrupted. Police Chief Hopley suffers from runaway acne that systematically destroys his face, mirroring how he tried to erase the truth. The medical establishment responds with stubborn denial. Doctors force conventional diagnoses onto clearly supernatural conditions. Even when confronted with impossibilities, like Billy losing over 100 pounds while consuming thousands of calories daily, they retreat into tortured explanations rather than consider alternatives outside their scientific framework. This denial isolates the victims. Billy's wife Heidi insists he's having a mental breakdown despite witnessing his impossible transformation. His colleagues avoid him, uncomfortable with his inexplicable condition. This isolation proves almost as devastating as the physical effects. The maddening experience of having their suffering repeatedly invalidated by a society that prefers delusion to truth. Billy's desperate search for the gypsies takes him up the main coast through emptying summer resorts. This physical journey mirrors his transformation from privileged lawyer to desperate outcast, stripping away not just weight, but the comfortable assumptions that structured his world. As his condition worsens, simple tasks leave him gasping. His heart develops arrhythmia from rapid weight loss. The scale shows his dramatic decline. 195, 179, 156, 137, marking his march toward death. His clothes hang like tents before becoming unwearable. Even his wedding ring slides off his skeletal finger, symbolizing his losses. When Billy finally locates the gypsy camp near the Canadian border, he confronts Tadeusz Lemke directly. He argues their situation is a push, a balanced injustice with fault on both sides. But Lemke, his ancient eyes reflecting centuries of persecution, rejects this lawyerly reasoning. He insists there is no such thing as push, no accidents without consequences, no injuries without payment. In desperation, Billy turns to Richard Ginelli, a New York gangster from his legal past who represents an alternative justice system based on power rather than law. Unlike doctors and family who denied Billy's situation, Ginelli accepts the supernatural premise without question, simply believing what he sees. His pragmatic approach focuses immediately on breaking the curse rather than questioning its reality. His methods are brutal and escalating, poisoning the gypsy's dogs, kidnapping Taduza's granddaughter, and attacking their camp with an assault rifle, destroying vehicles and terrorizing the community. Most disturbing is how readily Billy accepts these tactics. The once respectable lawyer becomes complicit in actions he would have condemned earlier, his moral boundaries eroded by desperation. Ginelli's violent intervention succeeds where Billy's pleas failed. Taduze finally agrees to meet Billy and remove the curse, suggesting a cynical reality where might ultimately makes right. The climactic meeting between Billy and Taduze Lemke reveals the curse's true nature. Lemke explains that per perfargade ansichte, the child of the night flowers, is a living entity that cannot be destroyed, only transferred. In the primitive yet powerful ritual, Lemke presents Billy with a pie. Billy cuts his hand, letting blood drip into a slit in the crust, while Lemke speaks rapidly in Rome. Billy's wound miraculously heals as the slit closes, trapping the curse inside. This transfer demands payment. Billy returns to his car to find Ginelli's severed hand. The gangster has paid with his life for interfering with gypsy justice. The ritual reveals the novel's moral universe. The curse requires suffering. Someone must bear it, reflecting an ancient view of justice based on balance. Most disturbing is that Billy now possesses the means to transfer his suffering. The pie remains warm hours later, its crust moving like a rind of white skin over living flesh, breathing in the darkness. As Billy returns home, having regained weight and seemingly escaped death, we witness his final moral corruption. His experiences haven't made him compassionate. They've twisted him into someone capable of calculated cruelty. His reunion with Heidi is hollow. Though she desperately seeks reconciliation, Billy feels nothing for her after she signed his commitment papers. When she offers to quit smoking, his cold response, "You better not, when you quit smoking, you get fat," reveals his lingering resentment. The novel's most chilling moment comes when Billy deliberately brings the cursed pie home as a supposed peace offering from a church bake sale, intending to transfer the curse to Heidi as punishment. Fate intervenes cruelly. When Billy wakes the next morning, both Heidi and their innocent daughter Linda have eaten the pie. In the final scene, Billy faces an impossible choice: let the curse claim them both, or eat the remaining pie himself. As he cuts himself a slice, whispering, "Eat hearty," we're left wondering if he's chosen sacrifice or resigned to sharing their fate. What began as supernatural revenge has become a tragic cycle, consuming the innocent alongside the guilty.